Praise God. Today, the title of this is, I'm not going to call this a series, right? We started it last week, called The Kingdom of God, Heresies, and Doctrines of Demons. The Kingdom of God, Heresies, and Doctrines of Demons. This is what I really felt like the Lord told me to do, was take my class that I was going to teach during this time and bring this to the church. So you all signed up for school. You're here for the service, but you signed up for school. Everybody like school? Well, you've signed up. If you're here, you've signed up today, okay? And we're going to continue this on. I have this is a wide-ranging topic that all of us, you know, we could use some information, some understanding, and some knowledge on what to look for in identifying heresies and doctrines of demons. Now, I'm talking about everybody in here going around and being the heresy hunter. That's not what this is about, okay? This is about identifying what really are true heresies and doctrines of demons that come about by seducing spirits. This is the understanding. We need to know how to do this. Most believers, disciples of Jesus Christ, do not know how to do it. But you're gonna. If you don't, you're going to. Amen?
Amen.
So this is school. So we're going to handle this like a class. Now, I've not done this before for church, but we're going to have some fun, okay? This is interactive. Each of the ushers has a microphone. You guys know how to turn them on? Right? You guys know how to turn them on? Okay. So we're going to, this is open. I want to open this up for comments and questions. I don't want any commentaries, all right? Don't give me your commentaries. You got a comment or question, raise your hand. And I'm okay to do that and do some interactive. We've not done this before. We won't always do this, all right? But like I said, we're going to have some fun. Okay? All right. Good. The purpose of this class, bottom line, is to gain knowledge and to be equipped more solidly in the Word and the doctrines of the Kingdom of God, and to help you identify heresies and doctrines of demons and know why you believe what you believe. Can you really say right now why you believe what you believe? I mean, can you do it? Well, the whole point is to equip you to be able to know where you stand, why you stand, and identify what does not line up. When I say line up, when you put the Word of God and the doctrines of the Kingdom of God together with a heresy or a doctrine of demons, how do you tell what's what? What is your lineup tool? What is your measure? How do you do this? The absolute truth, John 17:17, Jesus said to his disciples, sanctify them by your truth. Praying to his Father for us. Then he said, your word is truth. If you can't line up what you're hearing, what's going on, what you're seeing with the truth of the Word of God, then you really have a great potential to be deceived. Amen? And nobody wants to be deceived, right? Okay. Hopefully. All right. There are massive numbers of heresies and doctrines of demons proclaimed today, more than ever before. There is a proliferation of heresies and doctrines of demons that do not, compared with the Word, line up with the truth. The information that is available has never been available before. Right? So we're pummeled by all kinds of input into our lives. Well, what's true? What's not? What's right? What's wrong? What's evil? What's good? Because somebody says so? Or because somebody's proclaiming something? Where do you stand? And why do you believe what you believe? We must know. There was As you know, Vladimir Lenin, the one who brought communism into Russia, he was the head of the Communist Revolution, 1917, I believe, or 1921. He made this statement that I have never forgotten. If you've ever read history or read biographies and things, I love to read. But he said, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. Now, Joseph Goebbels, if you don't know him, he was the minister of propaganda in Germany during the rise of the Nazi Party. As the minister of propaganda, he made this an art form. Propaganda, by definition, is the biased and or misleading information presented to move people into an agenda. That's the whole point. It's called propaganda. It's not the truth. It's bent. It's twisted. It's perverted. It's not the truth. And the whole point is to move people into an arena that they want them to be. Political, social, economically, religiously. All right? Now, so we've got Vladimir Lenin, who was brought propaganda and the lies, mistruths, into communist Russia and built Russia on a great big atheistic lie. And then Joseph Goebbels, evil, evil, evil man in Hitler's Nazi party. And then you have the American news media. Sound funny? It's true. All the same. The American mainstream news media is chock full of propaganda. It's full of heresies and doctrines of demons. Full. This should be a little bit convicting. And I'll tell you why. It has a purpose in your life. All of it does. It is birthed by the spirit of Antichrist for an agenda. Okay? Okay. Now, would you go with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Lonnie, you grab my water. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thank you. Starting with verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure, they, people, will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching, but according to their own desires, and because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears by choice away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, stories, fiction. Sound like today? So that you understand, propaganda was first noticed in the United States in the late 1800s for a purpose, to bend people's minds, hearts, toward a certain way. It was called yellow journalism. It has exponentially increased, as we know today. We, as a country, are getting, and I'm not talking about believers, are getting what we want and what the bent of the agenda is, because for much of the part our country has turned away from the Lord for a long time. We are reaping as a country the result of what we've wanted away from Him, and the floodgates have been open for a long time. Now, this is going to continue. It's going to keep going. Don't think it's going to get better. We're in the last days. Don't be surprised. And I've told you this before. Things get worse. The whole point is to prepare you, get you ready, and be able to identify the truth from the lie, right? How do you do this? What's right? What's wrong? Last week, I covered in class number 1, and by the way, I got a real catchy title for today. Class 2. Okay? All right. We went through, kind of defined some things, doctrines of demons, heresies, and the doctrines of the kingdom of God. Now, I didn't do it exhaustively, but give me some ideas of what the doctrines are of the kingdom of God. Kingdom doctrines to you. Ushers, you ready? Raise your hand. Who's got one? Back there. Who's got another one? Right there. Right there. Who's got another one? Right there. Doctrines of the kingdom is what we're looking for. Go ahead and hand the microphone, please. Don't be shy. Go ahead and give it to them. Hands up, please. Keep your hands up. They can't see you.
Righteousness you. By faith in Jesus.
Say it again.
Righteousness by faith in Jesus.
Righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. What else?
The virgin birth of Jesus. The virgin birth.
The virgin birth of Jesus.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's another one. There's another one.
God is love.
God is love. Right there. Keep it up.
We being children of God through Jesus Christ.
Children of God through Jesus Christ. Family. Next, anybody else?
Jesus, the risen Lord.
He's risen. Resurrected from the dead. Resurrection from the dead. What else? Anything else? Let's do a couple more. I want to know what the doctrines of the kingdom of God are to you in your understanding. Lonnie? Yeah. Anybody
else? Joint heirs.
There is an objective reality, and God is it.
You know what?
Reality, there is an objective reality. It's not relative.
It's an objective reality.
God is real.
God's real.
And his word
absolutely. He's proved himself. Yep. You have to hold the microphones up to them. Just make sure that you got to hold it up to your mouth so we can hear you. Okay, what else? Anybody? Did you have one? Okay. All right. Carmen.
Redeemed by the blood. Redeemed by the blood.
Redeemed by the blood.
And being born again.
Okay, being born again. All right. These are some of the doctrines of the kingdom. All right. It is important that we understand the doctrines of the kingdom if we're going to identify heresies and doctrines of demons. If we don't know the doctrines, basic doctrines of the kingdom of God, how in the world are we going to identify what a heresy is and what a doctrine of demons is? How do we know? Well, just take a guess. No, don't do that. All right. Definition of a heresy. Any kind of a belief or a theory that goes against accepted and established beliefs, customs, and doctrines lined up with the word. All right? Now, this is a secular and a religious application. All right? Heresies can be in the secular world. If it goes against what's accepted, what's proven out, what's a belief, a custom, or a doctrine, in a particular, let's just say a corporation, and the way a corporation works, their bylaws, something goes against it, you could call it a heresy. Heresies aren't only a religious type lie, mistruth. But we're applying for our case, for what we're doing in this class, is to we're really going to examine according to the Word of God, okay? We're not going to look at a whole lot of secular. We're going to look at some of it because I'm going to tell you some things in this. Like I said last week, I'm going to share some things with you that kind of make you go tilt. But I want you to think about these things. I want you to understand this is how things work. This is how the spiritual affects the whole world and filters into the church. Universalism and transgenderism both have doctrines that do not line up. Ultimately, do not, when compared with the truth of the doctrines of the kingdom and the word of God, make them heresies. All right? Doctrines of demons, definition. doctrines or teaching inspired by Satan or the demonic to promote his own interest in order to divide and destroy and make the provision to feed his own desire for worship. If you're not serving the Lord or walking with the Lord or born again or a part of the family of God, guess what? You're serving Satan. There really isn't any middle ground. Even if you're not following anybody or anything, it's one or the other. There's only two parts here. That's it. And essentially, every person has a personal set of doctrines. Every believer has a personal set of doctrines that they adhere to. How do you know that all the doctrines that you personally adhere to are right? How do you know that? Are you sure? I want you to question things, okay? It's okay. It's important to do this. All right. The theory of evolution and communism, both a secular and a religious application and understanding, those are both birthed by doctrines of demons and operate by doctrines of demons, okay, compared to the Word of God. All right. That's the introduction. Again, step one. Where do we start? And this, remember, this is the beginning. We have got to desire the truth. Do you understand? Not everybody wants the truth. You can see it all around us, right? People don't want the truth. They want what they want to hear. And unfortunately, a lot of times, it happens in circles of disciples of Jesus Christ. Happens there too. You've got to desire the truth. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, please. Thank you, Jesus. Any questions in this big class? You will. And so you know, there's no dumb questions. I don't care what you want to ask. If I can't answer it right now, I'll get back to you or whatever it is. But there's no dumb questions. Don't feel like, I don't know if I should do this. Listen, what you ask and what your questions are, I guarantee you there's somebody else who's got the same thing. Okay? Okay. Besides, we're all family, right? Okay. Luke chapter 10, I want to start with verse 38. Now it happened as they, Jesus and his disciples, went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And as she approached him and said, Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help. Get her up off her bottom. I'm working. I'm slaving. I'm serving. I'm doing. I'm accommodating everybody. I'm taking care of stuff for everybody. In verse 41, Jesus said, Martha, 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 Martha. You are worried about and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Only one. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Amen. There's a lot in here. I only want to make a couple of points. Number one, Mary was hungry. Mary wanted, desired, craved, and went after the truth. Beyond the culture that said, all the women need to serve and need to serve until it's all done, do all the cleanup and all, take care of the kids and everything else, while only the men sit around, okay? That was cultural. It was not customary at all for Mary to do what she did. And Martha took the whole boatload on herself. And she got frustrated and angry and resentful. Why? Why isn't she helping? Martha could have had the word and the truth and the doctrines of the kingdom straight from the master. She could have had that right then. Mary chose well. In spite of all the other obstacles and pressures and distractions, because that's what they were, she chose well. And Jesus said, I'll not take that away from her. And he won't take that away from anybody. How are we choosing in what we hear? Are we desiring, is this the way we desire the truth? Is it? Or are we kind of, I'm halfway there. Well, you know. No. Are we sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word and hearing his word and getting those kingdom doctrines and the word of God into us? Are we doing that or are we distracted? Luke 12, verse 34, don't go there, says, where your treasure is, your heart is there also. Mary's treasure and heart were the word, were the doctrines of the kingdom. Martha's weren't. The distractions were plenty. Did she have a reason and justification? By the culture, sure she did. Sure. Does the culture run our lives? Does it? Tell me, does it? Does the culture dictate what we do and what we need? Do our families, let's get real here, do our families dictate what we do, our time we spend, how we live our lives? Do they? Sometimes, huh? They crowd right in there, don't they? We have choices to make. Is it always necessary to be distracted? No. Unfortunately, a lot of times we sacrifice the richness of the treasure God has got for us in the doctrines of the kingdom for some distraction, some little thing, some inconsequential thing. Okay, let's use this one. How about a news story or the glomming on the newspaper, not news media? That's just an example. Or spending a lot of time doing other things. I know that things are necessary in our lives that we have to do, but we make a lot of choices and permit. This is a key word. We permit distractions. So we have a choice to make. Martha or Mary? God will pour on you, all of us, when we choose him and to be built up in the doctrines of the kingdom. Well, I could take a lot of rabbit trails here, but we're not going to, for lack of time. That is step number one. Step number two in getting started. We have got to be determined. That means not be a quitter, but be determined to grow beyond wherever we are at. Wherever you're at right now, you have not reached the peak. None of us. Bummer, huh? None of us have, and we won't. But we have got to be determined to grow beyond where we are. Yes. Have to be. And it's got to keep in our minds and in our hearts. It's got to be this hunger, this desire for him and for his word and for the truth. This is about the truth, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Don't go there because I'm going to zip by this. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, like we have there out there in the foyer, desire, crave the pure, I want you to hear this, pure milk of the word. Not the polluted milk of the word. What mother would give her child milk filled with junk, garbage, poison? This is choices that we make. Desire the pure milk of the word of God, that you may grow. That's the whole purpose. Grow thereby. What's he saying? There's a time. This is for newbies, right? This is for somebody that's freshly born again. I'm coming to the kingdom. I'm born again. Wow, my life has changed. I'm forgiven. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can speak in tongues. Oh my gosh. The world has opened up spiritually to me and I'm blown away. And I keep feeding and keep feeding. These are basic doctrines. And I keep feeding and I keep feeding and I keep feeding. There comes a time to wean off and keep growing into other things. We wean up. You know, I don't know about you, but, and this is none of you. I mean, we've all known people in our lives who are adult babies with diapers. Haven't we? They've been being weaned for 40 years and they're still on milk. They don't want it. They don't want to grow. We have to desire to grow beyond where we are. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 12 through 14. And again, don't go here because we don't have time. The writer writes, for though by this time, he's speaking to adults, though by this time, spiritual adults, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles or the word of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And let's use this, heresies and doctrines of demons versus the truth of the word. Babies aren't going to be real good at this. Babies are susceptible to being deceived. Spiritual adults, or growing up, are not going to be. That's you, right? Amen. Say that's me. Amen. Yeah, amen. So no more spoon feeding is really what it comes down to, all right? You know, in real life, the only ones that get spoon fed are babies. And I don't know if you've ever ministered in a nursing home, but those that cannot feed themselves, that's it. Everybody else should be eating meat. But again, it's a choice. All right, step three. And this is, again, this is where we start. Identify the truth from error. Identify, and this is where we're getting into now, identify heresies from doctrines of demons. How do you do that? Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1, beloved, church, brothers and sisters, do not believe every spirit. Now, when he speaks about believing the spirit, he's speaking about the words, the proclamations, the prophetic, and I don't mean necessarily the prophetic in church. I'm talking about there are many, many false prophets out there with an agenda. Many, secular world, and some religious. Now, when I say religion, I mean everything, right? Everything that is classed as a religion, we'll get into some definitions here in a bit. There are a tremendous amount of false prophets. What is the spirit behind what you're reading, hearing, seeing on the television? What is the spirit? What's behind it? What's pushing it? What's the direction? What's its intent? We, as mature adults, should be able to read this. We should be able to hear and understand. That's demonic. Oh my gosh. Well, that's a flat lie. We should be able to understand these things. We need to be able to identify them. He said, beloved, do not believe every spirit. So many believe everything that they're told. Again, I'm really beating on the mainstream media. But the mainstream media, there are people who just absolutely believe everything that comes across. The five corporate networks that are the mainstream media and all their internet and everything else that comes from them. A lot of it comes through Facebook. A lot of it comes through social media. Now, I'm not against Facebook, social media, internet. There's a lot of good. But man, you got to identify what's what and what you feed on. Do you know that everything you feed on, every word that goes out is a seed? Genesis chapter 1 says, God gave every seed the ability to produce according to itself. Every word is a seed. Mark chapter 4. And it goes into our hearts, depending on what our heart condition's like. And it produces fruit according to what the seed is. You hear some bad seed, you take it in, you go, I'm thinking about it. Oh, is it going to destroy your life? Hurt you? Bring consequences? If it's bad, yeah, it'll bear bad fruit. Unless you identify it, reject it, or stop putting yourself in a position to take it in. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world in every way. Jump down to verses 5 and 6. They, speaking of false prophets, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, not of the truth, not of God. They're speaking of the God of this world. And the world hears them. We see that now, right? We're seeing it. Wow, you mean the world's really real? Verse 6, and we are of God. He who knows God hears us. And he who is not of God doesn't hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's many people deceived by heresies and doctrines of demons that come through the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. Many false prophets that conflict with the word of truth. And again, and they are serving the God of this world, the God of hate and destruction and death, instead of the God of love and grace, and holiness, and purity, and truth, and righteousness, and power, and is God of all. Wow. It's important that we all have a healthy dose of skepticism when we read anything, hear anything, listen to anything, even with me. Test it out. Okay. In order to identify heresies and doctrines of demons, now we're going to begin to look at the secular and religious through the understanding of the Word of God, or the absolutes of the truth, right? Number one, know the validity of where you get your information. Here's a question. Do you search out whether what you're hearing or what you're reading or what you're searching out on the internet or what you're reading on Facebook, do you search out whether or not it's valid? Anybody, I want to see your hand. Oh, good. Oh, good. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It is important to search out and validate what you hear. Now, how do you know when you compare? You know, this is where I want some questions, ushers. Okay? How do you compare what you're hearing with the Word of God? How do you find out whether it's a heresy, a doctrine of demons, or it's a truth? Tell me how. How do you do it? Y'all understand my question? Okay? Ushers? Who's got it? Who wants to tell me? David? Okay. Anybody? Carmen? Kitty? Okay, anybody else? Grace? How do you test? How do you do this? How do you make sure it's valid compared to the Word?
So I want to give you an example. For example, when you go to a doctor, they tell you a bad news, and you don't know what they're telling you, you go on Google, find all the website.
Oh, hold it right there. Hold it right there. That's good. When you go to the doctor, if you go to the doctor and they give you a negative report, the first thing you do is go to Google. Good.
Yeah, and they will tell you all the worst case scenario out there. Or maybe sometimes it's not worst case. They just give you their opinions, mm-hmm. which is go against what God had promised us.
It goes against what God has promised.
What do we trust? Then we ask people who have similar experience, and we ask people.
And then we go to
us.
Other people.
And they strengthen our disbelief. They go against what God have teach us, and this disbelief make us confused from what God have said, what God have promised.
Okay, good. So how does that line up with the Word? By His stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, you were healed. Okay? That alone, all right, is a kingdom doctrine. All right? How does Google and a negative doctor report, negative, now I said negative, or somebody's opinion, your friends, line up with the truth of the Word? What is the truth of the Word? I'm healed. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Next? Who else? Anybody? Carmen. Right up, hold it right up here.
To always go to the Word of God and get confirmation from the Word of God, because God's Word is true.
Okay. Validate by the Word because it's true. Always. That is our measuring line. Anybody else? Dan? Microphone. Dan?
I like to check things out in Strong's Concordance or Young's Concordance. A lot of the words are mixed up in English. You just gave this spirit of error.
Dan?
In the Greek, it is deception, not error. And it's a little bit different.
Well,
check your source.
Use the tools, and we're going to talk about that later on. Concordance, Young's literal translation, concordance, okay? Greek-Hebrew dictionary, because you all know that the Bible was not written in English, right? Originally, classical Hebrew, and then there's the Hebrew that we get, and the concordance is a lot of it is a newer version, so everything is, you got to take all this into consideration. Then Aramaic, and then Greek. Okay? See, you got to do a little searching. It's all available, but you got to do a little searching. If you really want to know, I mean, knuckle down and get the depth of it. But you will get, I mean, absolute basics, fundamentals out of the Strong's Concordance, Greek and Hebrew dictionary. All right, we'll talk about that in a bit. So you go, let me just keep going. I've only got 5 minutes. Know the validity of where you get your information. Disregard hearsay. What is hearsay? Stay up, ushers. What does hearsay, Kitty? What is hearsay?
Basically, hearsay is somebody's opinion, not truth and not fact.
Okay. Hearsay. Teresa, real quick. Hearsay. What is a hearsay?
Hearsay is what someone says you hear.
You hear what somebody says. Yeah. Okay. What hearsay is an unvalidated opinion. That's hearsay. That means it's more or less really not factual. It's not allowed in a court of law. Right? Hearsay is not allowed, right? Counselor? All right. Hearsay is not allowed in a court of law. Why would we allow hearsay? Let's talk about the way it really is. Gossip. Let's talk about that. Or somebody's opinion, and there's a ton of that around. Why would we take that as something valid? Are you kidding me? Now, you all are smarter than that. I know that. Okay? Blake, hearsay, real quick.
You're just repeating what somebody else said. You're like a parrot.
Repeating what somebody else said. Anybody ever play the telephone game? Half a dozen people in a circle. I mean, that's all you need. Half a dozen, somebody whispers something to one. By the time it gets to the sixth person, it is so distorted by what they've heard. That's what happens with hearsay, too. Okay, so disregard, reject, throw out hearsay. Go directly to the sources and compare them with what you know to be true. And you're not going to know everything all the time. It's okay to get counsel at times, but get godly counsel. Get counsel that's going to point you in the direction you need to hear. Use the Bible study tools, commentaries, concordance, historic customs and manners of those who lived in the times that the word was written, archaeological proofs. Now, this gets down to into an area, a field called apologetics. Anybody ever read anything? Any apologetic information? Okay, good. Apologetics is really the proofs of the Bible. Proving and proving and proving and proving and proving that it's true. You know, the Bible has never been disproven. Ever. There's been countless times when people have tried to do it. Cannot do it, and they will not do it. Go to a different Bible translation at times. Do that. All right? Don't keep reading the same one. Read various Bibles. It will help you. Can't get into it all. All right, number two, get acquainted and know the difference between these general terms, because I need another hour. These general terms in your life, because these are where we're going now. Movements, organizations, progressivism, cults, and religion versus the doctrines of the kingdom. Movements, organizations, progressivism, cults, religion versus the doctrines of the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you the definitions and we're going to wrap up because we'll have to continue this next week. A movement is a series. This is by definition a series of organized activities working toward an objective to attain a particular purpose. There's lots of things called movements. What is Christianity?
It's the way.
Pardon?
It's the way.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through Jesus. But a series of organized activities working toward an objective to attain a particular purpose. Is Christianity an organized activity working toward an objective to attain a particular purpose? Is it?
Yes.
Of course it is. We want God's heart to be in this world, people to get born again and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the particular purpose we are about, regardless of whether or not they get healed or get baptism of the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is, they get born again. There are other movements. Now I'm going to talk about some sensitive stuff, all right? And I want you to understand, if we can't talk about this in church in a safe way, if we can't dialogue in church, where can we? All right? Okay. Let me talk about two diverse, polar opposite movements. Black Lives Matter and the, I have to say this right, Ku Klux Klan. Okay? Movements. Aren't they? They have an agenda. They have a purpose for a particular reason, don't they?
Yes.
All right. So they are movements. What about, let's go to the religious side, Buddhism. Buddhism's really, really popular right now.
Yes,
super popular. What about Buddhism and Jehovah's Witnesses? Are they a movement? Yeah, by definition. We're only going by definition, okay? Are they? Yes or no? Make a commitment. Okay. All right. Let's leave it at that right now. Number two, organization by definition. An organization. A group of people having a particular purpose. Organization. A group of people having a particular purpose. I want you to think about who you think of. A business entity? Some other area? Particular church? Somebody let the kids know, I'll be done in 2 minutes. Please. Progressivism. What in the world is progressivism? It's all around us. It's been going on since the 1920s in our country. Real specifically, there's a real drive. And now it's consuming. Progressivism is the support of a social reform. Plain and simple. And everything that it entails. It is the support of a social reform. Next one. Number four is religion. Now, I'm not talking about Christianity per se. Buddhism is a religion, right? Religion is a personal set or institutional system of religious beliefs, attitudes, and practices. A personal set of institutional system of religious beliefs, attitudes, and practices. Not necessarily Christian. Atheism is a religion.
Yes.
Those who are evolutionists, it is, you can call it a religion. You know, you've got to start expanding how you think about things if you're going to be able to identify heresies and doctrines of demons. Finally, cult. What is a cult? What in the world is a cult? Here's the definition. Now, this is by definition again. A particular group of people who have separated themselves and aligned with a theory, a belief, or a doctrine outside of established and verified doctrines of the kingdom of God by the word of God. Christianity is based on the doctrines of the kingdoms. Cults are adversarial to a lot of the doctrines of the kingdom of God. Some more, some less. But that's what makes them a cult. Okay? So how do you test the spirits and truth with error? And we're going to leave it there. Will you stand with me? I hope this is provoking questions. You know, I said I was going to give homework. I guess it's not going to come till next week. Praise God. Praise God. My heart is to have you all so equipped not to be judges with evil motives, but to be equipped and able to identify truth from error, because we're being pummeled with lies in a far greater degree than has ever been, and it's going to continue. It is vital that we desire the truth, press in, grow up, and move on. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for this time, this day, this class. What awesome people you have put here. What a privilege it is to be among this family. Lord, we love you. I call them blessed beyond measure. Their week, astounding things are going to happen in your week. I mean, this is real. The Lord's telling me right now, be expecting astounding, marvelous, wonderful, exciting things are coming to you this week by the Lord. Keep your eyes open and pay attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves you. Wow, he loves you. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in every life here and what you're doing in this church and the mighty revival that we get to be a part of. Whew. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Praise God.